For anyone who has ever cried and laughed, ever lost a dear one, or gained a new friend, Tears and Smiles is just for you. Coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to the show. You're at the right place at the right time. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J., and I'm so glad you're here for another edition of The Right Stuff. Yes! Can't believe we've been doing it now for 5 years, and with me is one of my very first authors I've ever had on this show, named Willa Carpenter. We are both fellow Michiganers, and we also have a love for the Lord, for the written word, and just for writing in general, and I cannot wait to have you talk to him. We're going to be talking about his book, Tears and Smiles. It's written by Willa Carpenter and also illustrated by Robert Carpenter, and it's for anyone who has ever experienced happiness or sadness, pain, or comfort. This book is definitely for you. If you like poetry and you like spoken word, pick up your copy of Tears and Smiles today. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So go ahead and get your copy today. Now, this show is pre-recorded, so it won't be taking any calls, but make sure you get your family and friends and listen in. You can listen in at 646-668-8485. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, and when we come back, we'll be talking to my good friend, Willa Carpenter, coming up next right here on The Right Stuff.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on The Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then AuthorShout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at AuthorShout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by AuthorShout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J., and her guest, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5 again. So glad you are here with me today. We're talking to Willa Carpenter. He is the author of the book Tears and Smiles, a collection of poems and spoken word that I know that you as the reader will enjoy. If you ever been in pain, if you ever have had comfort, if you ever laughed, or if you ever cried, Tears and Smiles is for you. Again, it's written by Willa Carpenter and illustrated by Robert Carpenter. And go ahead and get your copy of this book, today. I know you're going to enjoy it. One thing I love about poetry is that poetry is a very unique form of the writing category, because poetry takes a truth or a certain view of that truth, and we're not talking weird stuff. We're talking like you see something, you see someone sitting on the bench outside of a bus stop, and you see something in that moment that titillates you, and you start to write about it in that moment. So poetry is a very unique avenue of writing that I think a lot of people can capture. I'm not very good at poetry writing. All my poetry comes out really sad. I stopped writing poetry probably when I was high school, because it just got really depressing. But it could be because I was an adolescent, and as an adolescent, you go through a lot of stuff. Everything's always sad and depressing. But I'm always so happy to showcase poetry. So that's why I want you to go ahead and get your copy of Tears and Smiles today. And it's not just that book you want to get by Willa Comforter. You want to get his other books. If you love Amish fiction, you definitely are going to enjoy his other books. We'll talk about that in the broadcast. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest co-host and contributor today, Willard Carpenter. Willard, how you doing today?
I am great, Parker, and hello to everybody.
You know what's so nice, Willard, is that I have always told people on the show that even though if we don't connect, I still want to stay in touch, because I always want to follow your writing career. And you've been on the show several times now, but we haven't had you recently because you had a lot of things going on. You were juggling a lot of different projects, had life happen, stuff like that. And so what I want to do is reintroduce you to some of our old listeners as well as the new listeners coming on board. So go ahead and tell us about yourself in your own words.
I started writing back in like 1980-81 when I was in nursing school. It was a very emotional time for me, and I was doing poetry and a little bit of short stories, but mostly poetry, and it was like a high and low of my life. I got involved in nursing and working and raising a family. And then after my children grew and I started to leave nursing and went into my retirement years, and then I started writing and I started looking at what I was going to do to pay it forward for the rest of my life. And I started looking at what I was going to do for the Lord. So I took an interest in writing again, and the person who is my friend and mentor who helped me, I read her first Amish book, but it was a Shelley Shepherd Gray book, and I looked at that, and I thought to myself, wow, you know, I can do this, you know, and she had helped me along the way, and I published Prodigal, and then later the second book, In the Secrets of the Sun, Unveiling. I have been busy since. It's just grown. My life just in writing has just grown from there.
One thing I know that with Amish fiction, a lot of people are drawn to that type of fiction for many different reasons. But as you've talked to readers of Amish fiction, people who just like that genre, what are some of the reasons why people are just drawn to that? Because a lot of people, you know, quite frankly, they see Amish fiction as Christian fiction. And so a lot of people may say, well, Amish fiction is just Christian fiction is Amish fiction. How would you respond to that? Because I know that throughout this show, you know, Christian fiction is a wide variety of genres and stuff like that. So go ahead, just give us your thoughts about that.
I actually know. I have a really good friend. And he and his friend were on a British Broadcasting special. It was about their life in Amish Paradise. It was Trouble in Amish Paradise. And you can find it on YouTube. And I am a good friend of one of the Amish gentlemen there. And people usually associated Amish with Christians, but it's not always necessarily true. They are very faithful, and they are very godly, but not necessarily Christian in the way we know Christians. Jesse, my good friend Jesse, was one of the people who was excommunicated because of his born-again faith. If you go back to the 60s, this genre started, there was a rift in Lancaster in the Pennsylvania area, which gave us the Old Order Amish, the New Order Amish, and the Beachy Amish, and the differences between them. And the New Order Amish is a the born-again aspect, and the Beachy Amish is a born-again aspect, but they can drive cars and have tractors.
Mm-hmm.
The New Order can go ahead and have electric. What we are going through right now, what I'm noticing, what Jesse is going through, is a new, like a born-again renaissance going on in the Amish community. The Old Order, they do their services are done in German, in the Old German, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There is the what we know and have,
understand with Amish, like what we understand about the Amish, and, you know,
yeah,
could you
where,
say, like...
Where we have... our faith, okay, and we know about our salvation, and they do not do that. They do not have the same idea, and that, and for them, that's being prideful to realize salvation in Jesus Christ is being prideful. Jesse was spreading the word of Jesus Christ within his community, and he and his friend were told they had to stop that. When they didn't, and when they continue to what we call apostatize, and they continue to spread the word of Jesus Christ within the community, and then they were threatened, and it was carried out that they were shunned. He calls excommunicated. He doesn't call it mm-hmm. shunned. He calls it excommunicated, but we all know that he's been shunned from the community because of his faith.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because what starts to happen, people are, it seems to me what's starting to happen is that the lifestyle in of itself is more of a cultural thing. You know, like there, it's based on like maybe a Christian foundation, but that doesn't necessarily mean just because you're Amish means that you're Christian. You could be an atheist even if you want and adhere to that lifestyle, you know. I'm assuming, but it looks like if that renaissance is going, then the Lord is calling us to not just a Christian, quote-unquote, culturally, because a lot of people say I'm a cultural Christian, but they're not really a follower of Christ. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know exactly mm-hmm. what you're saying. It's similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
They have a deep faith in God, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have the same faith that we have in Jesus Christ, where
right.
we are assured of our salvation. They are not assured of their salvation.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that assurance. And like I said, to them, that's being prideful. So do I relate the Christianity that I know and love to Amish? No, not at
right.
all.
That's
yeah,
an important
no.
distinction. It's an important distinction
yes.
that you bring up there
they,
because so many people
they know God,
believe that.
But they don't know,
mm-hmm.
they don't know salvation like we do.
And so many people believe that. So many people believe that, oh, Amish fiction is a form of Christian fiction. And that's not, I mean, yes, a lot of Christians write it, yes, but if that doesn't mean it's definitely under that thing. And I wanted to bring that up because, as you mentioned, you've grown a lot because you had these books, and then over time you've grown from those three books. So what have you been doing while you had the Amish fiction? What have you been doing? Tell us about what's been going on.
What's been interesting is just about a year or two before I left nursing, I opened up a hoagie stand, and
oh.
I ran it as a Christian business, my wife and I, inside of a farmer's market, and my boys who worked for the previous owner helped me get it started, and I ran it as a Christian business. I had Bibles on the table, because that's where what I was led to do, and, I treated my employees with dignity. I made
mm-hmm.
sure that every night before my employees left that I thanked them and made sure that they knew that they had worth and that they were important no matter what they were doing. And after 6 years, we sold the business, and now
mm-hmm.
the farmer's market that it lies in is going to be closing its doors this fall for good after 90 years being there.
Wow.
So anyway, while there, we had the editor and owner of the Boyertown Bulletin, a local newspaper slash periodical, came by, seen the Bibles on my desk, took an interest in that, and he took an interest in me and started talking to me and talking to Michelle, and found out that I was a writer of Christian fiction. And he said, you know, how would you like to write for my newspaper? We can do what we now call the Lord's Corner, and we're inside of what would be a secular newspaper, doing faith pieces.
Wow.
And that has grown now to where we do local pastors will write in a monthly prayer now too.
Wow.
So this
that's amazing.
Grew. Yeah, what's even more amazing is this grew out of the editor used to be an atheist.
Wow.
Okay, and it's a very powerful story as far as I'm concerned, you know, from going from atheist to believer to newspaper owner and editor and being very bold and forthcoming and proclaiming Christ.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. I love hearing stories of redemption and when people come to the faith. I love hearing that, you know, recently we had a woman who was on our show recently. She was an atheist for many years. And so she truly understands some of the atheistic foundations that some people have to come across. So I would definitely just love hearing that story, loving to hear that people, what makes people come to Christ. I love hearing those stories, you know. And now as the editor, you have this platform now that people come and you say they send in prayers and they do other things. But how has that helped you grown as a writer? Because you were writing Amish fiction, you wrote the poetry book that we're going to talk about, Tears and Smiles. But how has that helped you as a writer? I mean, do you feel like you've gotten better at it? Does it help with your fiction writing? What has that done for you being an editor of a newspaper, even though
I'm a senior editor of Chevalier Fidèle, Faithful. And we have approximately 20 people, and I have a managing editor, we're changing managing editors right now, and she does all the editorial work. I do most of the creating work of what articles go in and when, and oversight of that, and overseeing the different people, and most of my job there is working with people and being the biggest job is being understanding and looking at gifts and realizing gifts and helping people realize their gifts and what they can bring and making sure that they realize that their gifts are being brought to the right place, that they're not doing things that they're not able to do.
I think that hits another nail on the head about those gifts, because God gave us all these gifts. And sometimes people don't always have the opportunity to discover what those gifts are. And I know for myself, I say this off and on, you know, it's very fortunate that I know that the gift that God gave me was to write. Not that that's my only singular gift, but I do know that that's one thing he gave me. And when you have that gift and you can use it for the body of Christ, I really think that it just grows more and more exponentially, you know, because using your gift doesn't make you so self-focused. Not that there's nothing wrong with being a little selfish, nothing wrong with that, you know, but we're the same. How you can use the gift that God gave you and bless others with that. And it looks like that's what you're doing as you grow in this thing called being a follower of Christ. And we're talking to Willa Carpenter. He is the author of Tears and Smiles. He's also an editor as well as a writer, former nurse, and he's going to bring us much, much more. So go ahead and go get something to drink. We'll be right back after these messages. You can still listen in at 646-668-8485. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for a new reader to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you're here with me. We're talking to my good friend, Willard Carpenter. He is the author of the book, Tears and Smiles, a collection of poetry. So if you ever smiled or ever had a tear, ever been in pain, or ever received comfort, Tears and Smiles is just for you. Make sure you go ahead and get a copy of this book today. It's written by my good friend Willard and also illustrated by Robert Carpenter. Great illustrations in this book, so make sure you get your copy today. One thing we talked about as we were talking to Willard, he talked about his beginning, how he would start off as a nurse, and then he said, what am I going to do with the rest of my life after he retired? For Christ. And he started off by reading books, and he talked to his mentor. He started writing almost fiction, and then from almost fiction and grew into where he started to had a hoagie stand. Then he sold the hoagie stand, and then someone said, hey, why don't you come on board and work for my newspaper? And the person who came on board was a former atheist, and now they have a faith corner in a secular newspaper that's growing, and people are just reading that. So I say all that because you never know what's on the other side of obedience. So make sure you listen to the prodding of the Holy Spirit. If he's telling you to go ahead and write, make sure you pick up that pen and do so, because you never know what that gift will do for you, and you'll never know where that gift will take you. And I've used myself as an example all the time, not because I'm being boastful or anything like that. It's because it constantly shocks me that when I started to take my writing seriously, I never thought I would be here talking to you as a host of a podcast network. Never thought that would happen. At first, all I wanted to do was just write, and the Lord has now blessed me to start my speaking engagements, to be on the radio, to start branching out to other giftings given me. So what are you doing with that gift that God gave you? Are you using it to write, or are you just sitting down on it? Are you going to be like the evil servant that buried his talent in the ground, or are you going to multiply it? I want you to think about that as we continue talking to Willard about his writing and how his writing has taken him to so many different places. So Willard, once again, thank you so much for being with us on the show. Really appreciate you, as you already know, having you here, and it's been so good to see your writing career grow. And I know you're working on some projects right now, so go ahead, tell us a little bit about those.
Well, right now I'm taking about 5 years' worth of the writing inside of the Lord's Corner from the Boyertown Bulletin with the help of my editor, Eric Idle. I am putting it all into a book form called The Path That May. So it's all short stories and about people's journeys and my journey and stories of people's faith and people's brokenness and how Lord has worked with all of them and all of us. And they're going, it's going into a book. I'm hoping to get it done before the end of the year. Another book that I am working on is based, and I have a lot of readers waiting for this, but it, and it's slow going, but it's going slowly but surely. It's Fall of Crimson Leaves, and it's a standalone Amish book, and it takes me from my Amish writing, the last of my Amish writing, into wherever the Lord has me. My children have me writing a biography of the family right now also. And that's the Color of the Rose. And that's a piece that I'm doing just strictly with all of my attributes and how I want to do it without rules. And and it's an enjoyable piece right now. My children wanted me to leave a legacy in my writing, and I started out by talking about how they are my legacy, my wife's and I legacy. And I, you know, put in smiles in there for them. I said, you know, you wanted this as a legacy, but you just have to realize that the three of you and your families are our legacy.
I like that, Willard. And I really think more people should do that, because with writing your biography or the things that you've learned through your life, you do get a chance to pass that down to your children. And I've mentioned this on the show before, but my father-in-law was also doing the family ancestry. He's on Ancestry.com. He's tracing their family back from, I think he traced it so far like the 1500s in England. And one thing he mentioned, he showed me rather this short, I would say, biography of one of the family members. And that biography had been written during the family member's lifetime, because he was part, he was around during the Civil War. That's how old this document was. And he talked about how different things that happened during that time. Being, he wasn't in the Civil War, he was a minister, but he was around that time. And he talked about the things that happened. And I found that very fascinating, that here this man is back in the Civil War, and I would be benefiting from that today in the year 2016 at the time. It was like 2016 when I saw that. And I never forgot it, because some of the words that he said as a minister of Christ still reign true today. And you can't help but think of the words, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You can't help it, you know, because he says, you know, I will never change. He's never changed. And to have that affirmation from someone who lived back in the 1860s to a young girl here in 2016, and to have those words still resonate with power, is amazing. So I really commend you, Willard, for wanting to get that written legacy for your children. And literally it'll be for your children's children. You see what I'm saying? You pass that legacy down. Why do you think something is that important? Because your children are your legacy, yes, but I also think that having that written part of your legacy to be passed down is also important. Do you agree with that? Go ahead and expand on that.
Yes. Because whether they know it or not, we, my wife and I, see it, and we see them as an extension of ourselves, and we did not have to control or tell them where to go or how to be. But because of us and our faith, the oldest is now, and I'm sitting in his office. My daughter is an educator, and she's married to an Army officer, and my youngest is an Army officer and married to a bright and beautiful German girl. And they all have wonderful families and wonderful spouses. And they all of them have some part of their mother and father in them, because my wife is an educator, and we have always been faithful. And I have 11 years in the military, and we have never stressed being in the military to our youngest son. We always thought he was going to be a musician someplace and teaching music. And here he's a medevac pilot, and our daughter is married to his classmate. So we can very definitely see where God brings everybody together.
And I like hearing that. That's why I think that's so important. I commend you for that. I totally do that, you know. And I appreciate that in so many ways, because just having that to pass down from generation to generation. And then I had to go to Exodus 12 really quickly. Just read a quick verse from Exodus 12 in the King James Version. And it says, "And it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped." And I've read that because the things that we do now are going to affect our children, and they're going to affect our children's children. And so here you are, you have this legacy to pass down, and I really think that it's so important in today's society where we try to put the past away or revise the past instead of learning from the past and moving forward. So I really commend you for that, Willard. And now I want to get into tears and smiles. I want to get into that because, like I said earlier in the broadcast, I love poetry. I'm just not very good at it. So let's go ahead and talk about tears and smiles. So tell us how this book came to be.
It started on the highs and lows of the writing of it started on the highs and lows of what I was going through in my personal life and my relationships in nursing school, just shortly before and shortly after. And the book just, and my brother, who's a wonderful artist, took the time to do sketches to all the poetry that I did. And just recently, well, 4 years ago recently, he and I came together, and through my relationship with TBI Publishing, we have put together Tears and Smiles. And what is so cool about Tears and Smiles is that I really love young people. And I guess that might have come from working as a pediatric nurse. And but this book was done. The cover itself, the cover sketch, is done by Aaron Shirey, who at the time, I believe, was 16 years old. And she did a sketch on the front. And with the help of my cover designer, Ovi Dogar, of Absolute Covers, he took a whole black and white front page and put a blue iris on the girl's eye, and it just pops. And the story, my bio on the back, was done by a young writer for the Boyertown Bulletin. Let's see. The picture was done by a 17-year-old blossoming photographer, and everything about it is just has young people written all over it, and what young people are capable of doing, whether it be in the arts of writing, photography, sketches. It's just the culmination of young people and their work, you know, and I can't say enough about that. And that's why
I love doing that.
Wanted to do that. I was hoping I had the book when I got to Michigan up here, And sure enough, my son has it in his library, and I was able to pull it out. And I smile every time I look at the book. It's not a great seller or bestseller or anything. It's just like a sculpting of young people's work.
I like that. I like that a lot. And I love showcasing young people. You know, for those listening in, those who are under your influence, you know, Willard, when you share the show with your network there, you know, my youngest guest on this show was 9 years old, and she was a published author. And one of my other guests who's on the show, he was 15 at the time. And he said something that I thought was rather profound for such a young man. And I've been watching his career for the last 2 years, and he's been just growing by leaps and bounds. One of the things that he said, and I hope that any of the young people who are listening to our voice today take this with you, you're never too young to begin your dream. And he was a young man who said that he had been on the Steve Harvey Show. He had written his book. He had got awards for it. Now he's doing his own TV show and his own radio show. He's working for a big company. And I'm sitting there watching him just grow by leaps and bounds because he started at a young age and his parents encouraged him. So you don't have to, quote, unquote, wait till you grow up. If you have a supportive unit, whether it's your mom or your dad or whether it's someone who is supporting you, you can succeed. And the fact that you use young people to help you with that book lets them know that, hey, a part of them is immortalized in that. Like you said, a sculptor, a part of them is immortalizing that work because you let them know, hey, I could not have done this without you. You know, you can write the story, but I can't draw stick people, Willard. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, my stick people look like someone just, you know, was dying on the way out. You know what I mean? And I can't draw a straight line. I can't, you know, my circles are crooked, you know, so I can't do it. But someone else can. And to utilize that talent of young people is to encourage them, too. Now, I know our listeners want to hear just a selection from Tears of Smile, so go ahead and share an excerpt with us.
Oh, matter of fact, I had planned that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hold on a minute. Let me pull it up here.
Take your time. We'd love to hear that. Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear excerpts.
The excerpt from it is called Gentle Son, Gentle Love. Gentle son, my expression of love, brightening the blue in the sky of life, allowing us to feel your emotion in the caressing wind and softly glowing so your warmth may mend. Gentle son, I see your rays through clouds of strife. And when you sleep, you never go. Your light is with us in daughter moon. In brothers and sisters, as they twinkle in a heavenly star, and when clouds do come, your brightness to mar, I will not worry, knowing I'll see you soon. Gentle son, gentle love.
Beautiful. I like the imagery of that, because especially when you said gentle son peeking through the clouds of strife, I was thinking about a cloudy day, and then suddenly the clouds break, and the sun just hits your face, and it's very warm, soft and caressing. That's the first image that came to mind, and that no matter what happens, the sun still breaks through all that. And that's what I kind of got from it. And
well, love is
that's
that
why
way
I enjoyed
too.
It. Yeah, it really
yeah,
is.
Love
it
is
really
exactly
is.
That way.
Mm-hmm. And love breaks through a lot of strife because you kind of go like, you know what? I love you. Christ, I love you, and I'm going to die for you. You know, and that the
exactly.
Love just breaks through. You know, love shatters. I like that. Love shatters a lot of misconceptions. It shatters a lot of doubt. It shatters hate. It shatters it because it's so powerful. And the reason why it's so powerful, because it is in the nature and the person of God. That's why it's so powerful. And I like the fact that you use that gentle son, gentle love alliteration with each other. I love that piece. For those of you listening, we're talking to Willard Carpenter. He is the author of the poem collection, Tears and Smiles. So if you ever cried, you've ever smiled, ever been in pain or need a comfort, Tears and Smiles is for you. And this is a work of love that many people have brought together. Even though you penned the words, other people just helped bring this together, Willard. And I kind of like the fact that even though writers, quote, unquote, write alone, we truly aren't alone, wouldn't you say? Because there's so many people that helps us in this thing.
Oh, absolutely. It starts with your family being very patient with you, because when you're on a roll writing, it's literally nothing can get in the way, and it is time consuming. As a senior editor, you know, I have, from writing, I have learned a lot of patience with the writers of the newspaper, because I know that they all have families and they all have things to do, and most of them have jobs also. They're not retired like I am, and it just takes a lot to write, just to sit down and do any number of things with writing.
I was thinking when you said that about having patience with writers, because writers are notoriously late. Sometimes we can't meet our own deadlines, and then sometimes we can get to a writer's block. Life tends to happen. I mean, we've all been through it, you know. It's kind of like what a friend of mine says, herding turtles.
Right now, that I'm smiling wide because we actually had to the newspaper is new, and it's taken a whole lot of work from a whole lot of people. And we've actually had to stand down for a month or two here just to regroup, you know, and to relook at the leadership and to get back to people and in a kind way say, you know, let's take another look at yourself. Are you doing what God wants you to do? You know, if you're doing what God wants you to do, you're going to be happy. Never mind me. Never mind what I'm looking for. Okay. It's more important for you to be doing what God wants you to be doing, you know. And some people, you know, are not cut out for leadership roles and they're better at writers, and vice versa. Some people are better at leadership roles and not good at writers as writers. And, you know, it's my job to try to find out where they are in there and to draw out where God wants to have them in their life and to, you know, use them to that ability. It's really,
sort of
really
like
difficult.
An orchestra. You're the conductor.
Exactly.
You have your little stick there. You're like, okay, move over. Drums all together, you know, strings, percussion, all together, you know. All right. And
no,
then someone hits the wrong
there,
note.
You over here.
Let's tune up, everybody.
A lot
Stay
like
up.
That. A lot like and, that. Yeah.
And then you go, hey, where are you going? Sit back down. We're about to start. You know? I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it because that's what God called you to do. And so that's the thing. You start off first saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? I retired now. What do you want me to do? And he's shown you step by step, way by way, this is what he has you to doing. And then you kind of find yourself going, wow, if I was going to plan out my life, this wouldn't have been it. You know what I mean? You kind of think I would have been on the beach, you know, sitting in a beach chair with maybe some somebody fanning you with some leaves and all that kind of stuff. But I would know. I have work for you.
I don't know about being fanned with leaves. But, no, I never dreamed of this. No, and this is all things that God put into place. I went to a meeting last fall, and they presented a good friend of mine, Mark Mace, with a new job as National Communication Director, and he came, and they said, we need a newspaper to start a newspaper, and he looked on my Facebook page of all places and seen that I was published and that I worked for a newspaper, and he no sooner we got home from that meeting, he's on the phone with me and Facebook messaging me both simultaneously. I says, well, this is a guy who wants to get hold of me in a big way. And he says, I need you, you know. And I said, I'll do it, you know. But I want it done and done right. I don't want it done backwards or halfway, you know. So, you know, I made him promise me that that my job would be the senior editor, and that everything that went past me, I would have the final word, you know, just so that we could bring it up. And it has been a huge success, and right now it's been so huge that I am looking at another promotion where I won't be probably directly involved with the paper anymore, but overseeing it from outside. So I got a wider role to do now coming up.
Mm-hmm. And all that training. All that training.
Yeah,
I love that.
It's all because of the Lord. Because
Amen.
It's one step after the other. One thing led to another, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The book led to, you know, the editor who asked me to write for the newspaper, and that was picked up by the communication director who was looking to start a newspaper, who seen that, and, you know, and all these people are faithful people who realize what God is looking for and what God wants, you know, and that's, you know, what we're doing, just following His will.
Amen. And that's the best place you want to be. If not in His presence, in His will. That's the second best place you want to be. And so we're talking today to Willa Carpenter. He is the author of Tears and Smiles, which is available on Amazon.com. But he's also has two other books out there. If you love almost fiction, you definitely want to pick up his other books. The first book is called The Prodigal, and the second book is called Unveiling, which are their books, and they're in the same series, so definitely want to go ahead and get your copy of that. And he's also working on other projects as well, so make sure you stay tuned and follow Willard online when we get back from the other side of the break. He'll tell you how you can keep in contact with him, how you can connect with him. If you want to find out about the newspaper that he is a part of, the senior editor of, he'll give you that information as well. And we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. Continue to listen in at 646-668-8485 and then press that. No, don't press the one because we're not live today. So just continue to listen in and we'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Hi. Is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask club members and authors at your next book club meeting? Literizations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation, a literization. Literizations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use as discussion questions. Are you ready to get lit? Please visit our website at litversations.com, LITVERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so glad you're here with me. We've been talking to my wonderful guest, co-host, and contributor today, Willard Carpenter. He is the author of the book Tears and Smiles, a poetry collection. If you ever smiled, if you ever had a tear, if you ever been in pain or need a comfort, this book is for you. Earlier in the broadcast, he shared a wonderful excerpt from this book. He's going to share another one with us in just a few moments. But I want to give you an opportunity to connect with him. Like he mentioned throughout the broadcast, he is the senior editor of Chevrolet Fideli. And you want to go to that website. It's Chevrolet Fidelis, and that's C-H-E-V as in Victor, A L-I-E-R-S, F as in Frank, I-D as in dog, E-L-E-S.com. And that will also be, if you follow me on Facebook and also on Twitter, you'll also see that website there. You can connect with him there. Or if you want to connect with him on Facebook, you simply can by simply going to his author page, Authored Willard N. Carpenter. You can go there and connect with him there, like his Facebook page, and he will respond to you. I've been having such a great time talking to Willard because, like I said earlier in the broadcast, I love following people's careers. I love knowing what's going on. I love seeing how after the first book, it's the second. After the second, it's the third. After that, it's a career. After that, it's growth. And so what are you doing with the writing talent that God gave you? Are you sitting down on it, or are you using it? Don't let fear, don't let doubt, don't let negativity stop you, because you'll never know what God can do with that talent he gave you. We can always go to the scriptures and look at the parable of the servants who had the talents, and what one guy did with his talent, what another guy did with his talent, and what the third guy did with his talent. The third guy, you know what he did? He buried it. Do you want to bury your talent? No, don't bury your talent. Use it. You never know how it will be multiplied. And so with Willard just telling us the different things that have happened to him, how he's using that talent to share the legacy of his family, he used that talent to involve young people in his book, Tears and Smiles. He used that talent to be part of a newspaper. He used that talent to reach so many others. So guess what? Pick up the pen and write stuff. So, Willard, again, I just want to have people opportunity to get a final thoughts from you as we get ready to end our show today. It's been wonderful having you. And so I gave them the website to the newspaper, and I know that you can connect with them on Facebook through your author page. Is there any other way they can connect with you? Do you want to share an email address, something like that, with us?
Well, sure, sure. I'm always on top of my email address also. It's Dave Malone. It's DEMELUN@hotmail.com. And I respond to all my mail there also. Even though some of them, they get through to the junk and I miss them. Sorry.
Yeah, what can you do?
Yeah. They can also get me on my personal Facebook page also. It's Willard Carpenter. And I'm usually there. I'm in a red shirt with a black Bailey's or a Stetson hat on. So that's the country side of me.
I got to say, I'm a city girl. I went quote-unquote camping, and I say that in very huge quotes, air quotes, and little bells on them, because camping, for me, that was quite rustic, and I had running water and electricity. And it was rustic for me because there was no TV, there was no internet, and the water smelled funny because it was well water. I had never smelled well water in my entire life. And, you know, there are bugs. And then I was terrified I would see a bear while I was there. You know, I did it, though. It's like I said, it wasn't quote-unquote real camping, but it was as rustic as I was going to get. You know, so, yeah, I totally get that. So I'm a city girl. You're a country boy. I'm a city girl. I can't. I need the urban landscape. I can't do it, Will.
It's all good. We all got something to share with each other here.
You know, I'll learn the country from you. I'll learn it. I'll just bother you one day when I'm working on the country store. I'll just bother you, okay? Because I don't want to experience it. I'm sorry, because I'll be the one that get bit by the bear that one day I go into the country. I'll be bit by a bear and like, really? This happened, you know. That'd be my epitaph. Parker bit by a bear, you know. Anyway, but no, I want to go ahead and just have you give us your final thoughts and encourage our author friends out there who God has given the gift to write to go ahead and do so. I've been encouraging and you've been encouraging, just sharing your story and everything. So before I have you give that encouraging word, I do want you to read another excerpt from Tears and Smiles, and let us hear that right now.
I'm going to set that up for you, actually. It was
sure.
Right after I graduated from a nursing school, a bunch of us, there's like about eight of us, went to Wildwood for the weekend right after we graduated. And it was a bittersweet time for me because before I started school, I was separated from my wife, and she and I had lost a child of our own, a baby girl. We were on the pier, and I was babysitting a little girl that reminded me of what my little girl would look like. And her name was Tara. And the title of this piece is called Tara's Pier. Fast rise and flow, screams and laughter, castles dark, hanging on tightly but really not scared. You're the little girl feeding French fries to seagulls at our feet, whose hair returns the gentle movements of the sea's breeze. And yes, it's Tara's Pier for the day.
Wow. Wow. That's the entire poem?
That was it.
Oh, okay. I heard the page
turn. Just a small excerpt, you know?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
It was just moving. And if we have the time, I have one more.
Go right ahead.
Okay, and it's called Sherry, and Sherry is the daughter we lost. Through gentle closed eyes I see you, the little girl I never knew, running as if to dance through the tallness of the wheat, golden fields which slope into the quietness of the valley to greet the sound of the poetic brook reflecting the blue skies, you, the little girl whose hair blending with the fields so moving, I see your smile caring as your eyes follow the dancing monarch and little hands keep in time with the golden sea. I don't miss you, my little one. You see, you live inside of me, my Sherry, who touches my heart.
Wow. That's beautiful, Will. That's absolutely beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. You know, I always think about some of us, there are some of us who the Lord has decided that we are going not to be, you know, parents, that we'll be parents in different ways, not the ones of our bodies, you know. And I think about that, and the flip side is that when you have a child and lose a child and to still find comfort in both of those. So that's what kind of resonated with me. Because one of the things I say, and I've said on the show before how I want to be a mom, but I always did say that, you know, God's will. Seriously, God's will. And even when I don't get it, you know, God's will. And so that really resonated with me. So thank you so much for sharing that and sharing your time with us and being with us today on the show. And I do want you to spend just a few moments encouraging those authors out there whom God has given the gift to write to pick up the pen and do so.
Absolutely. It's the little voice inside you. And find the muse that moves you, and I use movie themes, and I put that in the background, and I go into my own little world, and the same way people get lost while they're reading, I get lost while I'm writing, and it's a great place to be, and for me today, it's even a greater place because I'm writing about family, remembering my mother and father who had passed and how they brought us up. And though not perfect, loving how they loved us. And all the little things that come from that. The biggest thing to do is just sit down and do it. Just write anything. And don't get involved with people judging your work. I am working with a writer right now, and she's a teacher. And I told her to quit being a teacher. you're doing artwork now. And quit having people judge her work, because no one can judge your work. Everything you write on a page is a brushstroke for an artist on a canvas. And no more than anybody can sit behind and tell the artist where to put the next brushstroke, no one can tell you what to write down. And Mary Purr and I were encouraging this young woman who I'm mentoring right now, and telling her to just get past that and just do the art, just enjoy the art, and that people, your goal should be one person to move their life somehow in a positive direction, and you'll find it'll be one, more than one person, it'll be quite a few people, and not to worry about the money. We're none of, very little of us get rich writing, you know, so just enjoy the ride and just enjoy the writing, you know, and let it flow.
Amen. Amen. What wonderful words of wisdom to end our show today. And Will, thank you so much for being with me. It's so great to reconnect with you. We've been wanting to do this for a while, to reconnect and have you back on the show, because I tell all my guests, you know, I'm not interested in casual relationships, but long-term relationships. You know, I want to see you grow and be a part of that. And it's so nice to see where the Lord is taking you and how, you know, several years ago when I first started the show, you were one of my first guests on this show. And I don't think we
were.
I enjoyed
it back then like I enjoy it now.
You know, and I think we knew each other from a group. And then you mentioned you had Amish Fiction. I was like, well, yeah, bring it on, you know. So we started to connect from there. And just to see you grow has been just an honor. And I'm so glad to be part of it in such a small way and to share your work with our listeners. So thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for being faithful. Thank you so much for what you do. And can't wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
And thank you, and thank you to the readers out there, all of you, and thank you to your listeners. I appreciate your time.
And we were talking today to Will Carpenter. He is the author of the poetry collection called Tears and Smiles, which is available at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. He is also the senior editor of Chevalier Fidelis, and you can go to the website, ChevalierFidelis.com. That's C-H-E-V as in Victor, A L-I-E-R-S, F as in Frank, I, D as in dog, E-L-E-S.com. He's senior editor of that newspaper's there. And you know what? If you love Amish Fiction, read some of his other works. He has two other works out there. The first one is called Prodigal, and the second is called Unveiling. And he's working on more, so make sure you connect with him either through his Facebook page, which is author Willard Carpenter, or you can connect with him on his personal Facebook, Willard Carpenter. He's the one with the red shirt and the cowboy hat, as I would say. And you can also email him as well. I want to thank you all so much for being with me for this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at parkerjcole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.